We're continuing tonight the study of the soldiers of the cross, and tonight we have new cards for everybody. So, David, are there four sets of four cards in the set? There are four cards in the set, so you should have four new cards to add to your field manual as you serve the Lord. And David will be passing these out, so make sure that you get when you get the cards that you've got four of them. So that's the design of it. Now, if you can ignore David and ignore these young men and ignore everything that's happening, if you could just ignore. If I could just get you to ignore what these young men are going to do, then you'll get four cards, and so we'll get all of this sorted out after a while. Okay, we're doing this Soldiers of Christ, and those of you who are visiting with us may not be aware of what it is, but we're really trying to learn the Old Testament. That's really what we're trying to do is to learn the Old Testament, and so let's really seriously work at doing that. And the whole format of the things that we've been doing is that when we came to the time of the divided kingdom, we started with the death of Solomon, and all of our attention has been focused on that northern kingdom. We've mentioned the southern kingdom every now and then, but the focus of our attention has been on that northern kingdom. So what we're going to do now is to just take a break from the flow of the historical aspect of that, and then go to the study of the prophets that prophesied during that time of the northern kingdom. And it should be real interesting for us to do this, because this is the part of the Bible we know almost nothing about. If I were to talk to you about when Obadiah lived, would you have any idea where Obadiah fits in the Old Testament? Well, you know where the book is to be found, but do you have any idea where Obadiah might be found? Or what about Malachi? Do you have any idea where Malachi fits? And do you know if Isaiah prophesied to the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom? And so what we're going to do is to try to emphasize and do the very best job that we can do in our teaching, to do the very best job that we can do. And then I'm going to encourage you and beg of you and beg again of you to devote some time to learning the very first things that we'll look at tonight. And it's not likely that we'll be able to learn everything that is in these early slides tonight. And so for the next several weeks, we'll begin Sunday night this part of our service by looking at when all of these individuals live. Now, if you want to get your Bible, open it up to the book of Hosea. We're not quite there yet, but if you'll get your Bible and open it up to the book of Hosea, you might be able to find some lessons. You might want to have your Bible. There might be things that you'd want to underline and things that you might want to have as a part of that. But I want to commend one of our ladies in the church this morning, because Carolina Bielich, thank you, Carolina, for what you did this morning. She said, I had the wrong chapter on the screen here. And I appreciate that. Here's somebody that is not quite bilingual, but she's headed in that direction. She's got her Bible opening and checking verses, and she found the mistake. And that says, and what a lesson that is to the rest of us. Carolina, you are an example to the rest of us. And I thank you for what you did. And I should have said 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And on the screen I had 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And she noticed it. And I saw it in the Hispanic Bible. She's absolutely right. Now, it's a bilingual Bible. I saw the Hispanic and the English side by side. But Carolina, thank you for helping us find that and to set that record straight. Now then, let me have your attention. We're going to try to learn where each of these prophets prophesied. And so we start with those two prophets that prophesied to the northern kingdom. And I want to know if you can think of them. There's a third prophet that was there in the northern kingdom, and he prophesied to Nineveh. You know who that is, the one that God said, go to Nineveh. He's from that northern kingdom. But there are two prophets who prophesied to the northern kingdom. Now, I hope you look at the map and I hope you understand where that northern kingdom is. If you don't, go back and look in that field manual and look at where that map is. That'll help you find out where that northern kingdom is. But the two prophets we need to put in our heads and remember them if we possibly can. You don't know this. I mean, if you know this, I'll be absolutely amazed that you know that Hosea and Amos, they must have put it on the screen because somebody said the name before I did. I tell you, Jackie, you impressed me so much. Hosea and Amos prophesied to the northern kingdom. You got that? Can you hang on to that? Now, you folks know that I remember things by putting them in my head upside down and crooked. And so I don't know, what I'm about to say may not help you at all. But if learning those four righteous kings in the southern kingdom, you remember the first righteous king in the southern kingdom? What was his name? Asa. The second righteous king in that southern kingdom was who? Jehoshaphat, all right? And the third righteous king in that southern kingdom was who? Hezekiah, all right. And then the other one is Josiah. I don't know if that helps you at all to remember it in weird ways. It just helps me. And so if your mind is wired in there crooked like mine is, if you want to remember the two prophets to the northern kingdom, the northern kingdom is NK, right? And the two prophets to the northern kingdom are Hosea and Amos to the northern kingdom. Hank. Did that help at all? It may not help you at all right? H-A, Hosea and Amos to the northern kingdom. H-A-N-K. Did that help? That doesn't help, all right? Yes, all right, thank you. There's another retard in here other than me, and I really am thankful that I've helped you out. Hosea and Amos to the northern kingdom. Now, here's what I want to do. Next week when we start this, and I say, who are those two prophets to the northern kingdom? I hope that you're smart enough that you can forget about Hank. In fact, we had a Henry in the audience tonight. He'd been standing right up here beside me because if you want to know to the two prophets to the northern kingdom, just think of Hank. Hosea and Amos. Got that? Now, there is that third prophet, and that's Jonah, and he's from that northern kingdom, and he prophesies up to Nineveh. Now then, there are those prophets in the southern kingdom. And they're prophesying while the northern kingdom stands. You got this? We've got prophets in the northern kingdom, and that's Hosea and Amos. Down in the southern kingdom, there are some prophets, but they're prophesying at the time that Hosea and Amos are during the time of that northern kingdom. And it's important time-wise to know where these things are found. It's important. It will help you have an appreciation, and that's why we spent all of this time looking at that history of the northern kingdom, because when tonight, if we can possibly get to it to look at the book of Hosea, if we can get to it tonight, we know what's happening up there in that northern kingdom. We know about Jehu. We know about Ahab. We know about Jezebel because we've already learned all of those stories. Well, it's while Ahab and Jezebel and Jehu, and then immediately following that is where Hosea comes on the scene and prophesies about all of these things. Two prophets to the northern kingdom, Hosea and Amos. At the same time, before the fall of the northern kingdom, in the southern kingdom, there are two prophets. And that's Micah and Isaiah. Micah and Isaiah. Now, if I tell you, if you'll learn these, I'll give you a mink coat. Would that help? Here's Hank, and here's a mink coat. That may not help you at all. And I'm sorry if this confuses you. If you want to just look at that map and say, yeah, I know right where those words are found. then that's the wonderful way to do it. But those of us who have to put things in a crooked way, that's the way it goes. See, David's got that kind of mind. He can just look up. He sees that map and he knows where Isaiah and Micah are. They're right there in that southern kingdom. And that's important. But that Micah and Isaiah prophesied during the time of the northern kingdom. That's M-I-N-K. I don't know if that'll help you at all. Should I do any more of these, or is that just confusing you to try to help you remember that? Now, can you learn those tonight? We're going to look at some of the others. But would you make right now a concerted effort to learn those five prophets? Hosea and Amos and Jonah are northern kingdom prophets. At the same time, as the northern kingdom is there, there are two prophets in the southern kingdom, Isaiah and Micah, or Micah and Isaiah. They're down in the southern kingdom. Will you try to learn that? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to learn the rest of these. We're going to do everything that we can to learn the rest of these, but will you try to learn those prophets right now? That's five of the prophets that are there. Hosea and Amos, northern kingdom. Micah and Isaiah in the southern kingdom while the northern kingdom is still standing. Now then, after the northern kingdom falls and you've got the southern kingdom, then there are four other prophets. And their names are Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Jeremiah. Prophets in the southern kingdom. During the time after the northern kingdom falls, you've got these four prophets. Now, don't try to learn these until you learn those other five, all right? Until you know Hosea and Amos and Jonah and Micah and Isaiah, don't try to learn these. You know, it'll get in your head, and all it'll be alphabet soup. You know, it's all in there, but it's not organized at all. So really, really try to make an effort tonight to learn Hosea, Amos, northern kingdom, Micah, Isaiah, southern kingdom, during the time of the northern kingdom. Down in that southern kingdom now, you've got Nahum and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Jeremiah. You've got those down in the southern kingdom. There are two prophets. We do not know when they prophesied. And there on the screen now, if you look over on the lower right-hand side, you'll see there, Obadiah and Joel. Joel and Obadiah. Nobody knows when these individuals prophesied. Now, how on earth can you remember when Joel and Obadiah are prophets? We cannot fit them in a place. We can tell who they prophesied to, but the time they prophesied, nobody knows. How on earth are you going to remember that? Just going to remember it? I love my way of remembering better than your way of forgetting it. You think O.J. was guilty or not? O.J., you see, that's 20 years ago. These young people, they don't have a clue who O.J. is. They're thinking orange juice, all right? You know, O.J., whether he was guilty or not, was unknown. And so you got Obadiah and Joel, unknown. We don't know when they prophesied. And then over in Babylon, you've got Daniel and Ezekiel over there in Babylon. And if you want me to tell you how to remember that, just be here next week. I'm not going to tell you tonight. You've looked at me like I'm insane already tonight. And so, will you try to learn these and to learn to look at that map? And when you look at this map, you know where Babylon is on the map. And there's Daniel and Ezekiel, and they're over there in Babylon. And that's really important for us to learn. And then there are those prophets that prophesy during the time that they're coming back from Babylonian captivity, and that's Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the last three books of the Old Testament. And so if you'll try to learn that. Now then, turn off the screen if you can black it out some way. You got it? Don't Don't say the answer out loud. Two prophets to the northern kingdom. Hosea and Amos. Did something happen? Is there, whose child is that back there on the screen? I have no idea who that is back there. Hosea and Amos. Two prophets to the southern kingdom. Micah and Isaiah. Two prophets to the southern kingdom. You did so well on that. Thank you very much for all the help and assistance you've given. And then the unknown prophets. O and J. Obadiah and Joel. And see, I put those in there in a different order from the way he had them up here, I think. Or he couldn't flash those up there. I think I got him that time. All right, let's get to the study now. Here's the questions that's on the cards. And so the questions on the cards are the writing prophets to the northern kingdom. The writing prophets to the northern kingdom. Do you know who they are? Hosea, Amos, and Jonah, who lived in the northern kingdom and went and preached to Nineveh. The second slide. The writing prophets to the southern kingdom before the northern kingdom fell. In other words, before the end of that northern kingdom. I hope you know the date of that fall of the northern kingdom, 722 B.C. Those prophets that wrote to the southern kingdom at that, two of them, Isaiah and Micah. Now, after the northern kingdom falls, there are four prophets that prophesy to the southern kingdom. And they're not ones I want you to learn tonight unless you're just absolutely brilliant. But learn, try to learn this thing in parts and you will be blessed unbelievably. If we'll just learn these things in part. And those are Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Jeremiah. And then prophets, though we know the nation to whom they prophesied, they're the unknown prophecies, the unknown prophets, Obadiah and Joel, or Joel and Obadiah. And then those prophets over in Babylon are Ezekiel and Daniel, and the prophets during the return from captivity, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Now, somebody says, I don't believe I could ever learn that. Well, learn it in bits and pieces. You may have heard the story of the pygmy in Africa that ate an entire elephant. And somebody asked the pygmy, how did you eat that elephant? And he said, one bite at a time. And if you'll put forth a concerted effort for the next month in learning these things, you will be amazed beyond measure of how easy the understanding of the minor prophets is going to become. And if you don't learn them, when you get over to the minor prophets and you start reading about all of these things, you'll not be able to grab a hold of much at all. Now then, there's another fact that needs to be learned as we enter into the study of the minor prophets. And that is the names that are used for the northern kingdom in the prophets. Just like sometimes in relationship to America, we'll call it the U.S., we'll call it the USA, we call it America. Sometimes we'll refer to it by the capital city like Washington. So in the prophets, that's exactly the way the prophets referred to that northern kingdom. And there are three names that are used to refer to that northern kingdom. We know the name of it is Israel. We know the capital city is Samaria. But we introduced tonight something that we've not mentioned before, and that is the major tribe that was there in that northern kingdom is Ephraim. And so as you read the prophets and you're reading Hosea and you're reading Amos, or perhaps sometimes you're reading in Isaiah or one of the other prophets, and they'll want to refer to that northern kingdom, they'll talk about it as Israel. Other times they'll talk about Samaria, the capital city. Or other times they'll talk about the dominant tribe that was up there, the Ephraim. And that's critical that you learn this. And then in that southern kingdom you have three names that are used. Judah, Jerusalem, and Zion are words that are used to refer to that southern kingdom. Now then, let's get to the text of Hosea. We'll not be able to finish this tonight. But Hosea prophesied to whom? To which kingdom did Hosea prophesy? Prophesied to the northern kingdom. You got your Bibles open? Let me show you a great, great trick in learning some of these things. If you look in Hosea chapter 1 and verse 1, in so many of the prophets, if you cannot remember whether they prophesied to the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom or when they lived, the very first verse is a date stamp. And so Hosea says, begins, "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea the son of Beeri in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah," those are the kings of Judah, "and in the days of Jeroboam the son of Joash, king of Israel." Now, somewhere on one of those green cards, you've got a listing of all of the kings of the northern kingdoms, the 19 kings of the northern kingdom, and the 19 kings of the southern kingdom. You have that green card? You see that listing? Right beside that, on that green card, you'll see that the name of Hosea is there. Because we want to put a time stamp. So if you want to know what's happening inside the northern kingdom, when Hosea writes these things to them, you'll have that as a time stamp. Now, you've got your Bibles open? God speaks to Hosea. Look in verse 2. "The Lord began to speak by Hosea. The Lord said to Hosea, 'Go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry. For the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord.'" There is some question here whenever he talks about go take a wife of harlotry, whether he's talking about the fact that she was literally a harlot or she was like everybody in that land. And they were all harlots in the sense that they were guilty of spiritual adultery. You see, they were married to God. And married to God, whenever they turned to these other gods, they were committing adultery. They were living the lives of a harlot, especially when they embraced this God and this God and another God and another God and another God. The Lord comes to Hosea and says, "Hosea, this nation is guilty of prostitution, spiritual. Now you go and find you a wife." And he describes her, a wife of harlotry. It's my judgment, for whatever that's worth, and it's worth nothing, but I'll give you the reason for this a little bit later. It's my judgment that almost every woman in that northern kingdom would have been guilty of spiritual harlotry. So it's my judgment that God comes to Hosea and says, "Hosea, go and marry a prostitute." And so Hosea goes, verse 3, "and he takes Gomer, and she becomes his wife. And then she has a son. And that son's name is Jezreel." Look in verse 4. "The Lord said to him, 'Name this child Jezreel.'" Why? Because of the sins that are associated with Jezreel. And so every time that this child's name was called, it was a reminder of the sins that had been committed in Jezreel. And so he says, "In a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. I'll break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." Then Hosea has another child. And the name of that next child, well, we've skipped a slide here. The prophet whose marriage parallels the relationship between God and Israel. Let's make that point before we go to start talking about these children. You see, God told Hosea, "You go and you marry somebody that you know is going to be unfaithful to you." Because that is exactly what Israel has done to me. And so the story of the life of Hosea is of the marriage of Hosea to a wife of harlotry, that story is paralleled to God's relationship to Israel. And the prophet whose marriage paralleled the relationship between God and Israel was Hosea. When you look on the screen and there are questions at the bottom, just be aware that that's indicative of the fact that on your card, that's one of the questions that'll be there as you try to learn the questions and answers in relationship to this. But go back to the children, and the first child's name was Jezreel, which the Lord says is a reminder of the bloodshed of Jezreel, and I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Verse 6, she conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord says, name this child Lo-Ruhamah. And that means nothing to us because we do not speak Hebrew. But Lo-Ruhamah, if you've got a marginal reading, means no mercy. Here's the first child that's a reminder of the avenging of the blood in Jezreel. His name is Jezreel. The name of this second child is Lo-Ruhamah, and that means no mercy. Now, what's this all about? Think of what's happening. Ahab, Jezebel, Jehu, not a good king in that northern kingdom. And so Hosea has this child, and the Lord says, you name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel. God says through His prophet to that northern kingdom, I've had it up to here, and I no longer am going to be merciful to that northern kingdom. He does mention in verse 7 that the southern kingdom is not about at this time ready to come under the judgment, for I will have mercy on Judah, but I no longer will have mercy on that northern kingdom. And then there's a third child. And his name, verse 9, is Lo-Ami. And that means not my people. Call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Now, have we got a picture of what's happening here? We've studied the history of that northern kingdom. We've seen the death of Solomon, and we've seen 19 kings. 200 years of their being ungodly kings, and God has been patient with them and patient with them and patient with them, in spite of the fact that for 200 years they've been committing spiritual adultery. And God says to His prophet, I want you by your life, and I want your family to be a lesson to all of Israel. You take a wife of harlotry because that's who I'm married to, and have these children, and there's all of that which evil is associated with Jezreel. And God said, I'm going to avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel. Child number one. Child number two, name that second child. No mercy will be shown. God's had it with Israel. And so here's Hosea the prophet, and he's standing there, and they know he's a prophet. And he's standing there, and every time he calls his child's name, it was a reminder to the people that God is no longer going to show mercy. And then there's that third child that means, you were my chosen people, but you are not my people any longer. The marriage of Hosea is parallel to the marriage that God had with Israel. Do you know what Gomer does? Gomer leaves Hosea. This wife of harlotry that he's married leaves Hosea and goes back looking for her lovers and commits adultery. chapter 3. The Lord said to me, verse 1, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery. Just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel who looked to other gods and loved the raisin cakes of the pagans. So Hosea goes over there and pays money. He buys this wife. I bought for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too I will be toward you. There's a key word in this section, and I believe it's the word again. In verse 1 when he says, the Lord said to me, go again and love a wife who is guilty of adultery. And that's why it may be possible that whenever he first sends her over there, that she is only a daughter of harlotry in the sense that she's guilty of spiritual adultery. When you come to the word again in chapter 3, verse 1, I believe it is indicative of the fact that when he married her the first time, she was living the life of prostitution. She goes back to that life. And he says, go and marry her again. And I believe the key word is the word again. And he bought her. And it may help you to remember her name, that he paid a homer for a gomer. A homer for a gomer. I don't know why I put things in my head then that way. And so Israel falls. Why does Israel fall? What reason does Hosea give that Israel failed? And down at the bottom of the screen, my people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Now that becomes a memory verse. Look at the next slide. And when on the slides, you see the blue indication down at the bottom. That's one of the memory verses. That did change your life. You try to memorize Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Know where it is. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. Now you know the practical side of that. The practical side of this lesson is, we're married to God. The Lord took us whenever there was no beauty about us at all. While we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The Lord married us to His Son, and we became the beautiful bride of Christ. And He overlooked every mistake that we'd ever made. And we were married to the Son of God, the church, the bride of Christ. But we need to understand that the very thing that happened to Israel, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, can happen to this very church. It can happen to each of us individually. And you and I have a God-given obligation to be people of the book and to do everything that we can to know about God. And not only to know about God, but to know God. But you'll probably never get to know God until you know about God. And I know about God. I know how much God loves people that do wrong. Why do I know? Because I've read the book of Hosea. I know about God. I know about His mercy. I know about how He'll forgive us and help us again and again to live right and to do right. I know that about God, but I not only know that about God, I know God. He's my Father. That's the way my Father is. But I know the danger. And that is, I can commit spiritual adultery and try to hold on to the Lord with one hand while trying to hold on to the world, to the material things that are here, and let the fleshly side of me overcome the spiritual side of me. And Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot hold on to the Lord with one hand and the world with another. It's this, both hands tied to God, or this, hands tied to the world and no hand holding on to the hand of God. And the strength to do that comes from Bible knowledge. Folks, we have got to be, we've got to be people of the book. We've got to be those kinds of people that love the Bible and that really become students of the Bible. And I beg of you, especially those of you who are young, while you can learn things so readily and so easily, to learn all you can about God right now. You've got a head that's like an old tar bucket. There's a bucket full of tar, and everything that touches it just sticks to it. I used to have a head like that. I've got a head that's like a tea sieve now. It gets in there and it leaks out. And whereas before I could hear it and learn it, now I've got to hear it and lose it and hear it again, lose it again, hear it again, lose it again. But I'm going to die learning more and more about God. God help us to never stop studying the Bible, because we cannot know God until we know about God. We'll take up here next week. I was hoping we'd be able to finish Hosea tonight, but we're not going to be able. The good part of Hosea, we haven't got to it yet. We've got to the fascinating part of it. But let me tell you how much God loves Israel. In spite of the fact he says, no longer am I going to show mercy, he says in the latter part of this, how can I possibly give you up? And that's how much God wants you to go to heaven. And he'll just keep extending that hand and extending that hand, and here we run over and grab a hold of the world again. And the Lord said, come on back. Come on back. And let's understand and appreciate his mercy and live by it. But let's understand this. You turn your back on God, and the Lord will look at you and say, Lo Ruhamah. There's no mercy on judgment day. There's judgment. And today is the day of mercy. And if you're not right with God, don't think on the day of judgment the Lord is going to say to you, I'm good and loving and kind. Come on, I'll let you in heaven. On that day, Lo Ruhamah, no more mercy. If you're not saved, you need to be saved tonight. Not sometimes down the road. You need to be saved tonight, lest the very thing that happened to Israel happen to you. Your heart gets so hardened, you'll never be able to respond to the invitation of Jesus. Where are you? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, won't you make up your mind? Won't you repent tonight? Say, I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to confess my faith in Jesus, and then I'm going to be baptized that my sins might be washed away by the blood of Jesus. Just sit and read this book. That's God's plan. And then he says to every one of us, here's what I want you to do, child of God. Be full of faith. You know where faith comes from? Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Be full of faith. And there's no way you can be full of faith until your knowledge is just continued coming in and your faith is nurtured and it grows and grows. If you think God will look at you right now and say, Lo Ruhamah, don't you leave this building without mercy. But come to the front right now. As together we stand and sing. Will you come?